us with this beautiful place to meet for our church. Awesome. Any more compliments that you want?
I need the lollipop. Let's stand for just an opening prayer, and I'm going to read some scripture here too. Father God, we just open our hearts this morning to you. And Lord, we extend an invitation. Come, join us. Your word has told us that we're two or three, and we're a group here this morning, that you are in the midst of us. So the invitation is out. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, and guide us. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for everyone who has come this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture passage this morning is Matthew 28 and 18 through 20. Matthew 28, we're already into Christ's resurrection. He's no longer before the cross. He's no longer in his initial ministry time. He's already been to the cross. And so salvation has come to all of us. And these are his instructions. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love that three-letter word, all. It's repeated here four times. Because all doesn't leave very much out. It kind of picks up on all the parts. So this is our instruction. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We are going to start out this morning by just telling Jesus how much we love him. He's the holy and anointed one, isn't he? He is the risen one. And even his name, when we say it, Jesus, it's so sweet. So we're just going to tell him how much we love him. Just soak it in right now. Soak it in. Receive what he has for you. Receive what he has for you. Jesus, receive what he has for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Karen, I really believe that's our healing time. He is touching us individually right now. Would that be okay if we don't call up? Okay. Let him just heal what it is, whether it's physical, spiritual, something of the mind, something that's laying heavy on your shoulders. You can even feel it on you, that it's just bringing you down. Something that's heavy on your heart. And you can feel it. You can feel even a physical twinge sometimes in your heart. Let him heal. Let him heal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father of life, draw me closer.
In time past, I have brought you to the window. I have brought you to the window to see the invisible things that I have prepared for you. But even now I am bringing you even further into the doorway, that I shall bring about even a doorway for you to enter into the invisible things, that you would see them and you would begin to draw others in through that doorway. Be encouraged and know that I am drawing you nearer. And your pressing and your cooperating is causing you even to see the things that I'm about to do, that I'm about to show you. Be encouraged, because at times you seem to be like, I can't see. But know this, that I am with you and I am in you. And I am drawing you so that the time will come when all of a sudden you'll see yourself in those invisible things. And those about you shall see the manifestation of those things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We receive your word. Let it go deep into our hearts. Lord, let us not forget your word today, Lord Jesus. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. At this time, just greet each other with a word that he has given you for that person, whether it be peace, whether it be a touch of his healing. Go ahead and greet each other.
Thank you. You know, it's written that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I think there are a couple of other words that we could put in there besides the cheerful. The Lord loves a loving giver. The Lord loves a thoughtful giver. The Lord loves a stretching giver. You know, sometimes we think we're doing what we should be doing, and the Lord's not exactly saying ho-hum, but maybe you just need to dig a little bit deeper. And I know I'm guilty of this, but we're so fortunate. God is so loving, so giving himself the author of every good and perfect gift. And so as we have the ushers pass the baskets around, think of all that you have received and all the wonderful things that God has done for you, and allow yourself to give thanks in this way. Let us pray. Lord, we do love you. You are just so, so awesome. Thank you for all that you do. Continue to be with us. Guide us, strengthen us, and direct us. And let us truly be thankful for all that we have. We pray in your name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, this is yours. These are your tithes and our offerings, Lord God, and we present them to you, Lord God. I thank you and praise you once again for everything that you've given us comes from you. And I thank you for this is our worship unto you. This is our praise unto you. This is our thanks unto you, Lord God. And may this be used in ways well-pleasing to you, for it is you that we answer to. You know that Pathway of Hope wants to be a light in this community and beyond. And I thank you and praise you that even 10% of these tithes and offerings go to missions around the world. I truly thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. And I thank you and praise you for this blessed time of giving your tithes and offerings unto you. Bless each one according to their loving, kind, faithful obedience to you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know how I love to do the history of the hymns, because I love the hymns. I'd love to see somebody do this in rap. Just a closer walk with me. I heard this one guy's rap rapping, and my daughter, and I go, man, he has been touched by God. His life has totally been changed. And I was like, wow. And then in the album that he did it where it was like a slower version of the talking and then just piano music. And the words were deep. Well, in this hymn, because I love all sorts of kind of Christian music. I'm so glad because I love a variety. And so I love that now there's all sorts of kind of praise music unto the Lord in all different styles. But with this particular hymn, they don't know who wrote it. And it is anonymous. And they think that it was done around, they said that the way that circumstantial evidence and stuff that they had strongly suggests it dates back to the South African American churches of the second half of the 19th century, possibly even earlier. The song became better known nationally in the 1930s when African American churches held huge musical conventions. And in the 1940s, a boom of recordings in many genera recorded the number, ranging from Southern gospel to jazz and brass bands. Okay, you guys know I like to go to YouTube, right? You know, and then check the hymns out. There was this one of 58 different performances of Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And whoever had set it up, it just kept rotating. So I had it on for hours. And I had Paul. There was one that I came to, and I go, man, that looks like Eric Clapton. I was pretty proud of myself because I don't remember all the secular artists and stuff. But I go, isn't this Eric Clapton? So I had Paul look at it, and he goes, yeah. And it was some like neat performance they'd done, and they had it as the last song. And it was just all these different performers that had come together for this concert. Then there was one that I told Paul, I said, you have so got to see this one. It was probably, we're thinking New Orleans Street or something. It was an African-American woman, and then she was playing a clarinet, and then there was a drummer, and then there was this guy with a big trombone thing, you know, and then, you know, a little, what do you call that thing? That rattle, in the, yeah, thank you, uh-huh. And so, and he was doing that with, you know, while he's doing the big trombone thing, sitting, you know, so. But this lady, she did a vibrato through the clarinet. It was so cool. I mean, it was incredible. See, I'm working on the shofar, okay? I'm getting there. I was like, oh, Lord, if she can do it, I can do it on the shofar. Okay, I'm glad that I get sound out of that shofar. So, but I was just like, it was so incredible. But what was so neat was seeing it on the organ. Oh, intense. And then just the piano, just all different ways, all different styles. Loved it. Where it was also like a huge brass band. I mean, just tremendous. Then there was a choir, huge choir, that did an awesome rendition of it. They just did some little things in it. But I thought, Lord, isn't it awesome? Because what I loved is this one gentleman at the end of this concert, and he was a pianist, and he said, you know, I hope that you have this personal relationship with the Lord. And he ended it also, his concert, with that. And then Natalie Cole sang it. Beautiful. It was just so neat to see it sung in so many different ways by so many different artists. I had learned it when we had the Hula ministry. See, God's salvation is for everybody, all languages, all races. And I loved it when I was in the Hula ministry, and Sandy helped me to learn how to sing part of it in Hawaiian. Me oi e yahu e heliku. I loved it when we used to, in California, we used to have praise worship nights on Sunday evenings. And sometimes there was a gal that would sing in Korean. And sometimes there was this couple that would sing in from Kenya. So they would sing in the regular, what is the regular African language? Because they each spoke their own village language, but then whatever that regular African language is. And Swahili or Swahini? Because one is girl and one is their language. Which one? Swahili is the language, and Swahini is for the girl. Yeah. So it was just so enjoyable, because even though you didn't understand it, you kind of knew, because you could follow along if you knew the hymn, and then you knew it was praise and worship unto the Lord, and he was smiling. It was just so awesome. But God wants us to have a closer walk with him. Do you see the scripture references in here? And so, just a closer walk with thee, that reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, right? You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That takes a close walk. And lean not on your own understanding. Hello, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. One of the versions says, he shall make your path straight or smooth. And I thought, Lord, isn't it true? Because I don't know about you, but I'm hearing of more and more troubled times. And you know what? I haven't like seen a burning bush that doesn't burn. But I do believe and feel in my heart that it's going to get much darker here. It doesn't mean that we do not pray for our country to repent and turn around and make God the number one high priority in all areas, in all aspects of our life. We do not give up on that. But I just feel that we are in the last days. Many believe that, and I believe that too. But let's say the Lord tarries. Okay? Shouldn't we still be saying that Jesus is Lord of our life? Shouldn't we still be relying on him? Now, let's say in these war-torn countries, let's say in World War II, do you think they were worried about whether it was the last days or not, or Jesus was coming again with all that was going on? They were needing the Lord there and then, right there with what was coming. Yes, we always need to be prepared, because he can come at any time, and we need to always be prepared for that. We need to be prepared for that because of the fact that we don't know when our last breath will be. freaky things have happened. But there are many people out there that don't realize that they need a Savior. And that if they could just grasp that fact of having that closer walk with Him, He would be with them, helping them, smoothing that path, making it straight for each and every one. He is the one that we need to lean on. He is the one that really, in the one that I like this one. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in insults, in hardships, in needs, in persecutions, in perplexities, and in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, able, powerful, in divine strength. We are seeing more and more persecution in the United States, and I am warning you, we need to be prepared for more. Unless things turn around miraculously, which I am praying for, we need to be prepared to stand strong. Because overnight, people thought things wouldn't happen the way they did in Germany. But it could happen here. And I'm here to warn you. We need to be prepared. But He is the one that will help us in this time and will help us to be strong in this time, will help us to stand strong for His truth. We are not to compromise His truth, as many are doing nowadays. And you know that I have said, I will not, to the best of my knowledge, compromise His truth. I will not, I will not, I will not. And as your pastor, I will not teach you any compromising. And I have asked the Lord, knowing I am imperfect, that if I do, that He corrects it in you. If I accidentally speak something incorrect, that He will correct it. And the Holy Spirit can do that. That's why every time, no matter who you hear, no matter who you've known and you've just been, oh, right on, right on. Yep, my spirit agrees with that. Yep, yep. You need to still go back to the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret for you and to teach you. Because His Word is so precious and alive that when He speaks His Word, sometimes He is speaking something different to you. And the same Scripture is so deep with His truth, so full of His love, so full of the fullness of Him, that we need to remember and recognize that we need to always be teachable. And something that you may have known, like, I know that verse. It's good. But be open to that new revelation of what He may be wanting to teach you, having you go deeper. His truth is alive. And then it reminds me of Psalm 119, verse 36 through 37, that we are not to covet things, you know, and we are supposed to incline His Word, His testimonies into our heart, and not to covetousness, to turn away our eyes and revive us in His Word, to turn away from worthless things is one of the versions. See, this will, He will keep us from all wrong if we are abiding in Him, if we are looking to Him for our help. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. You know, deliver me from evil. And then I'll be satisfied as long. Philippians 4. Remember we had Living Logos come last week and they gave Philippians 4? They both have Philippians 4 totally and completely memorized. And in that precious book, the Apostle Paul says that he has learned to be content in whatever state, whether in want or in abundance. And then he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in verse 12, he says, I have learned. It didn't just come all of a sudden. He has learned to be content, to be satisfied as long as he walked close to thee. He learned to be content. He learned that to be content whether in want or whether in abundance. And I have a feeling that more people are going to have that lesson of want. But we need to learn to be content no matter what. Because our abundance, our fullness, we will see Him provide in miraculous, mighty ways for us. We will not be left alone. We have Him to walk beside us, with us, going before us, behind us, hemming us in His precious love and power and fullness. And then, through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? The Bible talks about His compassion constantly. Jesus would see somebody and He was compassionate. He was compassionate constantly. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, remember the opening scripture where we said that commission, right? Well, this commission came to us because of this heart of Jesus. This is the end of Matthew 28 that we read. But in about the middle, Matthew 11, here we hear. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take, he says, my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am meek." And Jesus says, "I am humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quietness for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good. It is not harsh, and it is not hard or sharp or pressing, but comfortable. It is gracious. It is pleasant. And my burden is light. It is easy to be borne." See, it is easy to wear it, but there is a world out there that is saying, "Who my burdens will share?" Well, it is great for us to gather together, right? To share one another's burdens. That is another commandment that God asks us to do. But what happens when you're alone? What happens when God's teaching you something and nobody else is agreeing or seeing it? And you're so excited of the revelation that you've gotten, but they're just not seeing it. Are you not feeling alone? Are you not feeling a little bit distressed there? But He's saying, "Oh, my child, I taught that for you, for right now. And in my timing, I will teach them too. But this is for you. And right now, this burden of everything that's going on and you're feeling, I'm there with you all the time. They cannot be with you all the time, but I can. Just walk close to me, abide in me, constantly keeping your eyes focused on me, and watch what I will do." The CEV version of the Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders, and learn from me. I, the Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ, I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and this burden is light." See, I told you that we carry a mantle with the blood. And our mantle is constantly covering us. But we also have a mantle with the blood that is covering us. And this mantle that we wear looks different on each of us. Now, y'all know that I love leopard print. So my friend just gave this to me. We haven't been able to get together because of my sickness and then her sickness and stuff like that. So she just gave it to me as a Christmas present. When I put it on, she goes, "Ooh, that looks like a mantle." And I said, "Yes, I'm walking in authority. And remember what I told you? That we are born again through Christ. Through repenting, totally realizing that we need a Savior. And when we've repented, we now are new creatures. And so every day, we have a crown on us saying, I am new. I am the birthday king and queen. And this rod that we have constantly with us is the one that helps us to climb those hills when the tough gets going. Those mountains that can be removed with that mustard seed size faith which attaches to his faith. Because all of his fullness he has given to us. Jesus received all the fullness of the Lord God. And it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That he has given me all of the glorious riches that I have by that blood that he shed for me. By the resurrection power that I have with my birthday suit. So your mantle may look a little different. Mine has leopard print on it. But inside, I am washed whiter than snow. Lamb. The Lamb died for me and he was slain for me. And for each of us. And everywhere we walk with the help of the Lord as we rely on his word. His living, breathing, filled with life, filled with the perfect nutrition we each need, filled with that cleansing water that bubbles up out of our belly, out of our heart, depending on which translation you go to, in John chapter 7. So we need to remember, we are filled with him. We are walking every day with this. Because we have that when we're walking close to him. This is what we should always be walking in our authority. I loved it when I got this as a gift one time. And this reminds me of a scepter. But I love it because it is so beautiful. And it reminds me that I am precious to God and I am royalty. I am a joint heir. He came not to serve, but not to be served, but to serve. And that is what our hearts should do. We need to remember, as I've told you before, we are at war. We are prepared to be the warrior bride, spotless. We need to remember there's a war going out there, not only for our lives, not only for the lives of those we care about and our loved ones, but every single person in this world. Jesus died for every single one. Every single one. John chapter 1 verse 16 says, for out of his fullness abundance we have all received. All had a share and we are all supplied with one grace after another. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. And even favor upon favor. And gift heaped upon gift. And how many of us are walking in that every day? I've been guilty of it, not... I've been guilty of taking my eyes off of what I have in him and worrying and being burdened instead of carrying his mantle, his yoke that he gave me, which is light, but full of his love and full of his power, full of his peace, no matter what is going on, full of his grace, full of his mercy, full of his compassion, full of his understanding that is unfathomable. Matthew chapter 28 verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed and made appointment with them. And when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him. But some doubted. Jesus approached and breaking the silence said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. Dick, what version did you read it from? New American Standard. That is the Amplified. But I want to also have you hear it from the Message. I rarely go to the Message. That's a translation. But I want you to hear it. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, not sure about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. He gave his commandment. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, making them, by baptism in the threefold name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then instruct them in the practice of all that I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea, because as we do this, he will empower us to get through this life victoriously, which we should be living each and every day, because the victory has already been won. It has already been paid for, and we have it. We just do not always walk in it. And when we walk in it, can you see them being drawn to that, as the word was said? Being drawn to that, because they're not drawn to us. They're drawn to him. What happened when the discipleship movement a long time ago happened? Rick Joyner was writing something earlier this year, and he was saying what happened was that people were drawn to them. They were trying to draw them to them or their church. What do you hear me say constantly? This is not about Pathway of Hope. We are part of the body of Christ, and we are here to only have people be here who the Lord leads. We are not to pull people away from other churches. And we are not to beg them to come to our church. They are only supposed to come led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you invite them. But to encourage them to go somewhere to a Bible preaching, preferably Spirit-filled church. A church that does not compromise his truth. And then encourage them to be in the Word as we should be in the Word. Learning. And growing. But are you teachable? Oh, that's another thing. We need to be teachable. We need to recognize that not one of us, and some of us have been Christians for a long time, but you need to have that childlike faith and be willing to be taught again and again and again and not say, I know it. No. Say, Lord, is there anything I need to learn from this? Reveal it to me. Because see, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, what God has for him. He has so much for us. And as we are drawing closer to him, he will reveal things that we know not of, mighty things that we know not of. But we have to draw to him. We have to daily be walking closer and closer and closer to him. Daily desiring him to be our source. Our strength, our revelation, our insight, our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding comes from him, from the Holy Word, and being willing to be taught, being willing to listen to him, being willing to listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us, being willing to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in out-of-the-box ways. Our God who created things. I've said this before. Our God who could speak through a burning bush that doesn't burn. Our God who can speak through a donkey. Can he not speak from a billboard? Can he not speak from an advertisement to you? Can he not speak from somebody who you do not like? But you learned something and it hurt. But we need to be willing. We need to be willing to be disciples of the Lord. And as we are disciples of the Lord, we need to go out and help others. See, if we're walking around freaking out, if we're freaking out, sometimes songs just come in my mind, and then some days it's like every word is like a song, but some of us, the men freak out in different ways than women freak out, but we all freak out somehow, some way. And see, if we're though so trusting in the Lord, and all it takes is that mustard seed faith, saying, Lord, help my unbelief, my lack of faith. I'm doubting a little bit here, but I know and trust in your word, and I know that you are true. I know that you are mighty, and I know that greater are you that is in me than what is in this world and what my eyes see. And so if you trust in that, he will come in and he will move. But you have to be willing to wait for his way, his timing. Are you willing? Because in that, you have to keep drawing on him to get you that strength to get through that time, that challenging time. But he is there. And as we're doing that, we're in the midst of peace, in the midst of turmoil going on. Wow. I have this here because these are some people whose lives have been touched by God. See, they were leaning on God. They were looking to him. One man was a businessman, and he loved the Lord and was serving in church. And all of a sudden, God woke him up in the middle of the night one time. And then he put him in hell. And it was totally a vision, trancing. And because he could smell, he could see, he could feel. He was there for 23 minutes. Some people are preaching that there is no hell. There is a hell. Scripture after scripture, though, what he did was then God gave him a hunger, and he went to the Word, and he started testing the Word and seeing everything that he experienced was represented in the Word. One of the ones that caught me the most was that the air that we breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This air that we are breathing is a gift from God. And in hell, there is no air. He said it was like somebody, he said, I've never been asthmatic, but he said, you were like gasping for air. There was no air. But there, he went to the Word and kept going to the Word. Everything that he said, he found finally in the Word. Then we have the pastor that, Don Piper, 90 minutes in heaven. Oh, he didn't want to come back. He loved his wife. He loved his church. And he loved his children. But he didn't want to come back because heaven was so beautiful. And he came back to live in pain constantly. And it was not an easy recovery. But he learned to walk close to thee to help him to get through that. Was he always doing it really good? No. But God brought some others along to help him to get through those very tough times. Then we have another pastor, Dean Braxton. He was a pastor of a small church, and also he worked in a prison. And then he died. And he was saying, wow. He said one thing that he didn't like to do was that he didn't like to get in conversations with people. Because he goes, man, what if I don't know everything? What if I don't know all the answers? He didn't like that. He knew the Word, and he loved God with all his heart, and he was a pastor, but he goes, sometimes people would ask him things, and he didn't have the answer. Or sometimes the way that he felt the answer should be, they weren't agreeing with it, and so there was a little bit of a conflict, confrontation, but he said, you know what? The Lord told him. The Lord told me, he goes, you don't have to know everything, and you're not going to know everything. I've appointed you to be a pastor, and that's what you're supposed to do. Do not claim that you know everything. When I was in the interview process for the pastoral thing, out of obedience to God, because y'all know I wanted to run the other way, and in that she was saying, well, Karen, sometimes people will ask you something and it'll be a tough question. What will you do? And I go, well, I will do my best to find the answer if I don't know it, because I know I'm not going to know everything. And I know this word is so alive and full of truth. I'm constantly getting new revelations. why do we think that just because you've been a Christian, Billy Graham, okay, it does not know everything. He is constantly still learning. Constantly. If you're open to it. We have these of the children. Oh, wow. Precious. She was a Miss Universe or Miss America. I can't remember now. It's been years since I read this. And I haven't read everything. You know me, I'm a partial book reader a lot. I've read some books fully, but I've heard the testimonies of these. And this one, I did read this through, and it was like, wow, the stories of the angels coming. This gentleman is still not healed totally. He's still totally quadriplegic. But what God has done in the lives of all of them as they learn to trust in him. And then they are helping disciple other people, drawing them unto him, because they are seeing what God is doing in their lives in the midst of the challenges and the struggles they are going through. And the download of scripture, the angels that they have seen, this childlike faith, this mother learned a whole lot in the midst of it. She was saying, oh my, the Lord had told her to take the Lord's Supper, communion, every single day, pleading the healing, and she believes one day her son's eye will totally and completely be healed. But she said scripture started coming out of him that she knew he didn't know. And then I remember hearing a story of a farmer, and he just one day was in a coma for a week. All of a sudden, when he got out of that coma, scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. So something that may look like a bad thing happening in your life may be used for his glory if we surrender it to him, constantly looking to him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. When I heard about him, just recently heard about him. Many have heard about him. I recently heard about him. And I want to be like this. I have told the Lord, I want to be bold for you. I want my life to be sold out, set apart for you, no matter what the cost. And if it costs me my life for one soul to be saved, I want to be able to be so strong in you that I will do this, because I would rather them not face a life of eternity in hell and be able to go to heaven. I want to be that strong Christian. I want to never deny him, no matter what goes on. And I want to speak his truth. And it is at that point that he stood up and said, when they said, you need to take the Hitler oath and you need to stop speaking this and that and the other regarding the truth, he would not compromise. He compromised a little bit. And he regretted here and there. At a funeral, he said, I should have spoken at a Jewish relative's funeral. He goes, I regret that. And he says, man, it was after he wrote The Cost of Discipleship. See, he was human. But then he was in America, free, safe from what was going on. He went back. He goes, I can't handle anymore. I can't. I have to go back. I have to go back and preach and teach the truth. And he did, encouraging others and helping others to be disciples, to stand boldly for the Lord. Eventually imprisoned and eventually killed. A month before Hitler died. But in this movie, it shows as the Apostle Paul being used by God in the midst of imprisonment. And it showed the authorities, the Nazi soldiers, looking at him in awe. You will not deny, giving him several chances. And he didn't. And then there was this one man crying a lot. Finally, he says, I am holding my hands. I do not know who you are, but I am holding my hands on the cell wall. And I am praying for you to have the peace of God. He goes, I do not believe in God. And he goes, if you will hold your hands. He kept, he didn't let that stop him. He says, if you will hold your hands to the wall, I am praying for you to have a peace that only God can give. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Through Jesus Christ. And he's praying for him. Well, the guard that's observing this, he tells him the next day, oh, by the way, that guy that you prayed for, he died. He was, executed this morning, but he died in peace. He hadn't cried. He had been crying for days and days, but he stopped. See, as the Apostle Paul, Dietrich Bonhoeffer got to that point where he said, it's for you, Lord. And this is where he knew, yes, it is you are to honor and pray for the government, which he did. But there was a point when they were telling him that he could not no longer speak and preach and teach the truth, making disciples of others to follow his way, to know him, to believe him, to receive what he has for them, and to follow his way. At that point, he could not obey the authority anymore, because this is the ultimate authority. Our president, former president John F. Kennedy, in this famous speech, said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Many now are saying, come on, gimme, 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 gimme. And we are not supposed to say to the Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. We are supposed to say, what can I do for you? Because we've been given everything. It is all there, and it's the strength to go through. It is the strength to go through the persecution. He is there. We have been given everything, all authority in him. But are we doing that? Other godly Christian men and women, Jim Elliot, and his wife going back after the cannibals ate him, and going back to make disciples of the people as they're joking about eating her husband and the other missionaries. That is the cost of discipleship. Then we have Corrie Ten Boom, not giving up, finding God creatively, protecting that Bible as she gets in to the concentration camp and leading others to the Lord before they are executed. And then Hudson Taylor, going against what other Christians said about how to reach the Chinese, going against other missionaries because he heard from God and he knew he wanted to go into those remote areas, not where everybody was. And God told him to dress as they dressed and to do his hair as they did. He dyed his hair black, shaved this part of the head, had a long ponytail. An Englishman. Well, he was from England. I don't know what nationality he was, but he was probably white, you know, and stuff. That's what it looks like to me with the beard and everything. But it was like, wow, took a lot of ridicule from Christians. And then God told him to trust him for the finances. And God gracefully helped him in a nice way to bow out from the mission group that he was affiliated with. And God provided. That cost of discipleship. Children died there. His children. But he didn't give up trying to reach, and even in a war-torn country, he didn't give up trying to reach people and discipling them. And then they go out and help others, and then they disciple, and then they go out and help others, and then they disciple, and then they go out and help others, and then they disciple. That is what discipleship is about. And then you have praying John Hyde. Wow. Going to India. People stealing his stuff, but continuing to serve the Lord and being obedient to him, because it goes, it's not my stuff. If I don't have a pair of pants, well, I don't have a pair of pants. If I don't have a pair of shoes, well, I don't have a pair of shoes. They're God's. And they took it. But he constantly trusted and relied on God, seeking him daily, walking close to him to help him through the challenges that he went through. George Mueller, a pastor in England. And then God finally tells him, I want you to start trusting and relying on me. And so then he had to trust and rely on orphanages that God wanted him to start having for these children. And then getting the flack from others and Christians, because God started providing godly Christian men and women to help teach and be the house parents of these homes and the cooks and teach them. And then they went up and rose up to be good, prominent citizens in the community, Christians, and then in all different areas, in education and government, farmers and just different workers, all areas. And then they were being disciples to those people in their sphere of influence, touching the lives of others, because they were willing to teach them to trust in the Lord, to walk closely to him, and he would be there. He got flack. Because, see, at that time, the culture said, the poor need to stay poor. And if you're not in a good family, you need to stay in not a good family. But he was saying, no, you are rich in the Lord Jesus. And he created each one with a special purpose and a plan. He had a love for their lives. I love this. My daughter gave this to me. We all know Dr. Charles Stanley in Touch Ministries. But I like this one. It says, transformed by the word. See, we will look more and more like Christ, caring, being his eyes, being his heart, being his hands, being his feet, touching the lives of others. This gentleman, he wanted to see what it was like to totally and completely live. My uncle gave this to me. And he wanted to see what it was like to live under the law. It was not easy. He did this for a year. Oy! I am so thankful to God that when I blow it, his blood covers that. And I'm not bound to the law. Jesus paid the price for me. But he wants us to learn from him and to be obedient to him. But our obedience to him is not what gets us saved. It is truly recognizing that we are sinners, daily repenting, daily asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that is not right, because we know we're imperfect. We have blind spots. Why does he tell us about that? Why does he warn us about it? And then you want to be teachable, repenting of it, turning away from it, but you are needing to daily walk close to him to continue to resist or flee from, to recognize the sin and to flee from that. And then we have the messianic rabbi, the pastor. And he was saying, I'm just doing a church, you know, I'm not doing a church, but he's pastoring a church in New Jersey. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells him, leads him to the 9/11 site, et cetera, and in New York. And then one thing after the other, and he keeps telling him to go to the Word. And the reason he was doing it was, and he says, now I want you, he's never written a book before, and he goes, now I want you to write this book of everything that I've done and led you through. And I want you to write it to help others to be warned and to draw to me. See, not everybody agrees with everything in this book, but this book was used to bring others to the Lord, to see that the Lord is the one that we need to trust and rely on no matter what goes on. And we need to repent. And we need to turn to him for our strength and our help. And then he's saying, I never knew how to do all that, but he trusted in God. And then there was this Asks Ministries, two young men. I just love this, but I love it that they have this activating the spiritual kingdom. But see, this is a tool that they've used for discipleship to help people. They go, what is that bracelet? And there's one that they have in Spanish too. And then it means activating the spiritual kingdom. Do you want me to pray for you? Jesus loves you. Is there something I could pray for you? Some people have prayed the prayer of salvation. They have led them to salvation. They have not told them that they have to go to their church. They have told them to get to a church. And they have told them, if you do not have a Bible, we will get you a Bible. It's because they know that they need to not only have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but then to grow in him continually, because that is our source to get through daily. Over 6,000 people groups, they have not been reached with the gospel of salvation yet. 1.52 billion people have not been reached yet. We need to go and share the word. We need to go and show the word. We need to go and teach the word. That is what David Platt wrote and said, radical. If you've read this. Crazy Love by Francis Chan. These two men have been brought together to develop an awesome discipleship program. And we will be starting this discipleship program on April 18th, Thursday night. Some of you may not be able to have that. I encourage you to make whatever you can to start doing this, because no matter how deep we are in our walk with the Lord, we need to continue to grow in the Lord. And we need to continue to be teachable. And then this is a great one, Multiply, where these two men who had a heart for God to say, come on, church, wake up. They were saying, there are souls that need to be saved. We need to pray, God, please, each and every day, help me somehow, some way to touch the life of somebody with your truth, with your love, with your compassion. not judgment. Help us. Even maybe you're not out, but you will. He will put on your heart somebody to pray for, or pray for those who are out in the ministry field. I like it. David Platt said that he had a sermon title one time. One Sunday he said, "Will the word stop with me or spread through me?" See, I sang this one time at this leadership thing in Esco. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Just tip me over and pour me out. But what do you have to pour out? See, he's given in us. We are teapots. We are his. And he's given us all the gifts and the talents, all the spices for our personalities and our lives. And the Holy Spirit with that water is wanting to stir it up. And when we're in the Word, it is getting it fire underneath. We're saying, God, expose anything in me that I need to repent of. And you're wanting it burned away. And you're wanting it to be hot for him, hot for his truth. Not compromising his truth, but wanting his truth to burn in you. And the Holy Spirit will stir up the gifts of the talents he's given you and the truth that is in you. And you are to not keep it plugged up. You are to open it up when you're wanting to shout it out. And you are wanting to spill it into the lives of others as you are continuing to let the faucet, the open heaven, fill it up. But we have to be in that Word. So he says, this 19-year-old or so young man, he went up to him the next week to Pastor David Platt, and he said, man, that sermon, like, man, it really touched me, man. He goes, really impacted my life. That word, it needs to not stop in me, and it needs to spread through me. So he lifts up his sleeve and he shows him a tattoo. Will the word stop with me or spread through me? He goes, now, I better be careful what I title my sermons and messages, because I don't want people tattooing themselves all over with this. But it was just so neat to see this 19-year-old so impacted by that. And his other dudes, the buddies, he'll go, man, look at this tattoo. Because that word is not going to stop with me. I'm going to help spread it around. See, some people could judge, well, you shouldn't have a tattoo. That isn't. Do you think Jesus is judging them? No. He sees his heart. He sees his heart. And he saw his heart wanting to be sold out for him. He's saying, I want to touch the lives of others, and I don't want that word to stop in me. Lord, use me. Fill me. Use me. Send me according to your will. I saw on Facebook Kenya Perkins with Face Finest Ministries, and she said on Facebook post, she said, I once heard a pastor say that it's no longer rebellious to sin, because everybody is sinning now. If you want to be rebellious, pick up and read your Bible, because no one is really doing that anymore. Isn't that the truth? See, 'twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressed and crawled into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing ahead. And Pa in his rocker with baby on his lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. And what, to my wondering eyes, should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here, with a light like the sun shining forth a bright ray. I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light from his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom, and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. And the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. And those who were ready, he rose without a sound. Well, I was left, and all the others standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood, and I cried as he rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. This discipleship that we have in the Word is not just for us. We are to take the Word to grow. We are to take the Word to constantly be strengthened and empowered to live this life. And we are to be in this Word, our life source, our strength, because he gave it to us. Jesus is the Word. And he died for us to have this Word, to live life abundantly, to enjoy life, to live it overflowing. And we gotta stop being complainers and not trusting in his precious holy Word and living in it. I am speaking to myself too. I'm tired of me having my doubt, having my complaining sometimes, having my lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of confidence in him. I need to be obedient to him and him only. I need to love him, and I need to trust in his love for me, that his blood covers me and is with me, and his understanding understands when I have those times of struggle, of lack of faith, of lack of trust, of doubt. And I need to, as I go in the Word and I live in the Word and I drink in the Word and I feed on the Word, and I want it to change my life and do the Word, people will see the change in me. And they will be able to see that I will be able to be empowered by him for his glory. Jesus said, "I will do even greater things than he did." Not because of me, not because of him, but it was for him to glorify the Father, because all the power and authority he has been given to us in the name of Jesus, by his blood. And I need to stop and start trusting more and leaning on him, daily walking close to him. He is mine. I need to not, and all of us need to not, just merely listen to the Word, because that deceives us. But we need to do what it says, as James 1:22 says. I have hidden your heart, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. We need to remember. We need to not fear. We need to not be prideful. We need to beware of pride sneaking up or coming up, because we may say, "Lord, I can't do this. I can't share with this person. I am unworthy." He goes, "Yeah, you're right. You are. Nah, but I am. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord." Just be obedient to me. Just continue to love me. Just continue to trust me. Just continue to be me. And then if I tell you to speak, I will give you the words. But you are to preach the gospel always. And then if necessary, trust me and I will give you the words to say. How to say it. When to say it. Where to say it. Who to say it to. Just trust me. Look at Stephen in Acts 6 and 7. He was able, a man who just loved the Lord and his ways, the first martyr. And he was able to say, "Lord, I commit my spirit to you." And then he's doing the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. And basically saying, "Don't hold this sin against him." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Basically, Stephen is saying the same thing. How could he do that? Being stoned to death. But he didn't give in. He spoke his truth. And then we see the man that is there taking the clothes of this man that is stoned to death, smiling at what is happening, because he feels he is doing what is right by taking these Christians and throwing them in prison, some dying. And here, this man, Saul, has a Damascus Road appearance, an experience where Jesus himself comes. And he, at that point, starts seeing his ways were wrong. He was zealous, and that was awesome, but his ways were wrong. And then we see that we need to humble ourselves. We need to remember that our God will supply all that we need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We need to not be relying on our own strength. We need to remember that when we are weak, then we are strong, because it is he that strengthens us to do all that we need to do for his glory. It is not for our glory. It is for his glory. The Bible dictionary says the Latin is pupil, learner. We need to do that. We need to constantly be learners, but we need to be willing to make disciples. We need to help others to learn his truth. And then it says that we need to follow. We need to follow him. Gideon followed him. Gideon saw what a strength that he had when he was walking close to him in obedience when it didn't make sense. See, we may be a small church, but we are going to be and are and will continue to be a mighty church for God, because we will not compromise his truth. We will live his truth. And when we need his grace, we will rely on his grace to continue us on for his glory. It is not for ours. It is for him. I'm going to pray instead. I'm going to sing a prayer over you. So I want you to, if you want, I'd like you guys to hold as if you're receiving from him. It's up to you. If you want to just do it this way, that's up to you. It's not a commandment. I'm just a suggestion.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us, and send us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, move among us all. Make us one in heart and mind. Make us one in your love. Humble, caring, selfless, sharing your word, your truth, your love. Spirit of the living God, fill us with your will.
Thank you, Lord. We are yours. May we be, as we go out into this mission field, your light to this world, your disciples, and helping others to know you and be discipled to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.